You know, what are the first words of Jesus in his public ministry? First words. It is not, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Matthew chapter 4. The very first words he spoke to the devil. What are the first words? Same thing which he told Mary. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, not proceeded from God's mouth 1500 years ago, or that proceeded from God's mouth through Paul and John 2000 years ago. No, that proceeds, present tense. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. I have to read the Bible and I have to hear what God is saying to me through it. Present tense, present continuous, proceeds from God's mouth. Man shall live by that. It's not man shall live by the Bible. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from God's mouth through the Bible or through another servant of his or whatever it is. Whatever comes to my heart, I must hear it from God. That's how I live. Anything less than that is not life. Life with a capital L is when I hear God speaking to me every day. That's what Mary had. That's the one thing needful. It's the first words of Jesus' spoken ministry. And so here it says, if I want to fulfill that plan, I have to hear. Otherwise, how do I know? And it's not something that I hear. I don't hear God's voice with these ears. No. The devil would be able to fool me because he could say things. But when I hear it in my heart and my heart is clear with a clear conscience and I'm willing to humble myself, only two conditions. I won't make 10 conditions, two conditions. Keep your conscience clear always. Immediately confess every sin you know. Immediately apologize to anyone you've hurt, your wife or your husband, anybody, immediately. And forgive everybody immediately. Don't wait. I have the habit of forgiving people as soon as I heard that they said something or did something against me. I never try to read about it or anything. I say, I've already forgiven. Because I want to live in a constant state of forgiving others and being forgiven by God myself. That is a clear conscience. We all want to have God forgive us constantly. Forgive others constantly. Let there be not a single dot in your conscience of somebody you have not forgiven. Or something you are not forgiven yourself. That will ensure that your spiritual ears are clear to hear God. You know, Paul or whoever wrote Hebrews told them in Hebrews in chapter 5, you're deaf, you're not able to hear. You're not able to hear what God is speaking. John the apostle said on the island of Patmos that he heard God's voice like a trumpet. But a deaf man can't hear a thing. Trumpet? I didn't hear anything. And John hears it like a trumpet. There are people around you who are hearing God's voice like a trumpet and you say you can't hear it. I'll tell you why you can't hear it. Let me tell you honestly, lovingly. Something in your life you have not set right. Somebody you despise. Maybe another brother. Maybe your wife. Maybe your husband because he's so foolish compared to other men. Or your wife because she does some things in an awkward way. Or some brother or sister. Don't despise one of God's children. Don't do it. He will not take it lightly if you despise one of God's children because they're not as smart as you or not so spiritual as you or some foolish thing like that. Value them. If you keep those things clear in your conscience, you will be able to hear God's plan for your life. So that's the next word, planning. The other thing I want you to do is in love. Silently planning in love. Everything God plans for you is in love. Never forget that. He never plans anything which is going to bring a calamity for you or create problems for you. Of course, he'll allow you to go through trials. Yeah, I remember when my children were going to school and some tough examination was coming up in the school in India. The final examination is very important to get promoted to the next standard. Or the next grade, as you call it here. And, you know, if they don't pass in their final examination, they stay in the same class. So even if they got a fever or a stomach ache or a headache, I say, go, you got to finish that examination. And that child of mine may think I'm being very hard on them. I say, I don't care, just pass, get on to the next class. But you can't avoid the examination. And it doesn't matter if they thought I was hard. When they get promoted to the next class and they go and they do well, then they thank the daddy. Yeah. God is like that. He's not going to hold you back just because a trial is going to be tough. He says, I want you to face it because you're going to get a promotion. Remember, every trial you face will give you a promotion. It's the final examination. In love, his trials are sent in love. His blessings are sent. He doesn't keep on giving us trials. You know, in Psalm 23, it says, we go through the valley of the shadow of death. But it also says he takes us by green pastures and by the still waters. Don't forget that. Green pastures, still waters, valley of the shadow of death, all necessary. But the Lord is my shepherd. And where does it finally lead you in Psalm 23? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he's silent. Everything is in love. Don't ever doubt it. Don't look back at anything in your life. Even I'll tell you something wonderful. Even your mistakes, the blunders you made, God can turn it for good. I've seen that in my life. Nobody can go through life without making mistakes and blunders. But I've got a Father in heaven who turns those blunders and mistakes into something good. Think of the blunder and mistake Adam and Eve did. You know that Jesus would never have come if Adam and Eve had lived a perfect life and all his children lived perfect lives. Where would we have seen the love of God in Calvary? Oh, I wouldn't miss seeing the love of God in Calvary for anything. I say, thank you, Adam and Eve, for sinning. Thank you for sinning. Because of that, I see the love of God in a way I'd never have seen. God, that's the greatest proof that God turns the mistakes of men for his purposes for glory. And he can do that for what he did for Adam and Eve. He'll do for you. He's silently planning in love. The other thing I want you to see is, two more words, silently. You say, I can't hear him. No, he's silent. But he's speaking. Don't worry if you can't hear him. Silently. He doesn't come with big thunder and shouting. There's a wonderful verse in Isaiah 45, which I love, which says, Isaiah 45 and verse 15. Please remember this all your life. Isaiah 45, 15. Oh God, surely, truly, you are a God who hides yourself. I love that. Because many a time, I think God is not there. And I've discovered afterwards, he's there. He's just hidden himself. He's a God who hides himself. When the sun rises, God doesn't appear in the heavens and say, hey, fellas, I'm God. No. He allows the world to be full of atheists every morning to say there is no God. Because he has hidden himself. But those who have eyes to see can see he is there. In your house, if you and your wife live together in humility with a good conscience, Jesus is there. Not because you hang a board on your wall saying Christ is the head of this house. That counts for nothing. Live in humility with each other, with a good conscience in love. And he will be there. But he hides himself. He's a God who hides himself. So he's silently, all the work he does is silently. You think he's not there. Afterwards you say, who did that? That was God. Haven't you had experiences in your life where you wonder, how in the world did that happen? Because someone was silently planning for you. How in the world did you get that wonderful wife when you could have messed up earlier on with somebody else? Oh, that was God who silently held you back somewhere and pushed you forward somewhere and got you married to the right person. That may not be the most perfect person in the world because you're not the most perfect person. How can you get a perfect person? Just humble yourself and say, God gave you the person who was most appropriate for you. To make up for you. He silently. You know, very often when people come to me for marriage counseling before they're married, I draw a diagram of an egg then I draw a diagram of the egg, which I break with my hand, and all those jagged edges on this side. And you know how you break a eggshell with your hand, it's full of jagged edges. And I said, both of you are like that. Full of jagged edges. You can hurt each other. Try and poke your face with it, you'll get hurt. But now see, I put those two halves together and all those jagged edges go into each other's gaps and it's a whole egg again. That's how God is a husband and wife. You see all those jagged edges in your wife or your husband, brother, sister, there are jagged edges in you. But they are corresponding to the where there's a projection there, there's a gap in you, and that's how you fit together. God silently planned that. You didn't have to go searching all the world for it. God silently planned it. Be thankful. Even if you made blunders in the past, God forgives. It's amazing what he can do. Even bring up blunder that Adam and Eve made. And if you want more proof of that, I'll tell you, just to encourage you, when God's silent planning. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And the one person who had the opportunity to plan his life before he came to earth was Jesus. You could not plan your ancestors. You can go to the ancestor website and find out who your ancestors were, but you can never plan them. And if you find among your ancestors there were some prostitutes and thieves and gamblers, you would not want anybody to go to that site and discover who your ancestors were, right? Now let me show you the ancestral line of Jesus Christ, which he chose. From heaven he chose. He watched right from Adam onwards. Here it's not listed from Adam, but from Abraham. And God, remember this, Jesus is watching from heaven. Which line shall I be born in? All the hundreds of thousands of, I don't know, millions of people on the earth. And he's watching, watching, watching. And he sees Matthew 1 verse 3. Perez and Zerah, verse 3. Born to Tamar. And Judah was the father. And by the way, Tamar was Judah's daughter-in-law. So not his wife. It's his son's wife. He committed adultery with his son's wife. Incest, we call it. And they had twins. And Jesus says, I'll choose that line. And the angels say, Lord, why that line? Because there are many people who will be born of incest. I want to identify with them. But I love them. They should not think that they are outcasts. No incest is a person born of incest is an outcast for Jesus. God so loved the world, including them. He chooses that line. Would you choose that line? Ask yourself. If in your ancestral line you've discovered someone who was born of incest, would you like to advertise it or you block the ancestral line at that point? Not Jesus. You see his humility there. It's the first page of the New Testament. He puts it right there. Okay, we go down the line. Verse 5. Rahab. Salmon was born to Rahab. Rahab, the most well-known prostitute in Jericho. Not even an Israelite. Supposing in your line there was a well-known prostitute. And you were born in that line. You see, I come from a state in India called Kerala. One significant thing about Keralites is they are very proud of their ancestral line. They put the name of their family, even sometimes in their name, such and such a house. And they are proud of it. And they call themselves Christians. I don't want to say anything more on that. Here is Jesus' ancestral line. Prostitute, Rahab, a child born. Okay, let's go down. Ruth, another non-Israelite. Good girl, but what was Ruth's ancestral line? She was a Moabite. You know who Moab was? Moab was a boy born out of another incest. Lot, when he ran away from Sodom, his two daughters got him drunk and committed adultery with their father. And one of them got a child called Moab. Incest again. Lord, a second incest? You need another one? Yes. Another incest person in my ancestral line. Moab. From that comes Ruth. And then in the official line of all this were the ancestors of Mary and Joseph. So Jesus' physical ancestral line. And the official ancestral line includes one more name. That is verse 6, Bathsheba. Aha. How about having her name in your ancestral line? Somebody committed adultery with that woman, murdered her husband, married her. Fine, I'll take that line. Put it down in the first page of the New Testament. Four women, all with a shameful past, every one of them. And they are the only four women mentioned here. What about the other holy women not mentioned here? Why only four sinful women mentioned? God is silently planning for you in love. He planned Jesus' line and he planned yours, my brother, sister. Be thankful. One last word. Always. 24/7. He's still planning. He's always silently planning for you in love.